Today's scripture reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 to 21, and later Acts 2, 38 to 42. Describes the coming of the Spirit and Peter speaking to the crowd and the first converts. When the feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. There were many Jews staying in Jerusalem just then, devout pilgrims from all over the world. When they heard the sound, they came on the run. Then, when they heard, one after another, their own mother tongues being spoken, they were blown away. They couldn't for the life of them figure out what was going on and kept saying, "Aren't these all Galileans? How come we're hearing them talk in various mother tongues? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, visitors from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, immigrants from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, even Cretans and Arabs. They're speaking our languages, describing God's mighty works. Their heads were spinning. They couldn't make head nor tail of it. They talked back and forth, confused. What's going on here? Others joke. They're drunk on cheap wine." That's when Peter stood up and, backed by the other 11, spoke out with bold urgency. "Fellow Jews, all of you who are visiting Jerusalem, listen carefully and get this story straight. These people aren't drunk, as some of you suspect. They haven't had time to get drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is what the prophet had announced what would happen. This is what the prophet Joel had announced what would happen. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on every kind of people. Your sons will prophesy, also your daughters. Your young will see visions, your old elders dream dreams, your young see visions. And when the time comes, I'll pour out my Spirit on those who serve me, men and women both, and they'll prophesy. I'll set wonders in the sky above and signs on earth below, blood, fire and billowing smoke, the sun turning black and the moon blood red. Before the day of the Lord arrives, the day tremendous and marvelous, and whoever calls out for help to me, God, will be saved." Peter said, "Change your life. Turn to God and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so your sins are forgiven. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is targeted to you and your children, and also to all who are far away, whoever, in fact, our Master God invites." He went on in this vein for a long time, urging them over and over, "Get out while you can. Get out of this sick and stupid culture." That day, about 3,000 took him at his word, were baptized, and were signed up. They committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles, the life together, the common meal, and the prayers. Thus ends the reading.
Thank you, Catherine. I don't know if you noted right there at the end, this is the first sermon recorded with the new church, and it says, "He went on for a long time." Just putting it out there. What it says, not my fault. June 4th, 2017, 6 years ago in a week, Kirsten and I were across the street having a little bit of a late breakfast brunch over at the Nook, a wonderful little restaurant that unfortunately is no more. Miss it. Very good food there. Really good cookies. And if a place has good cookies, that in itself is a good way to recommend it. And we are having that breakfast, and at about noon, we get a telephone call. Telephone call is from Mary Reese. And Mary Reese says to me, "Can you get over here now? We've just voted. It's unanimous. You've been called." And I walk over, and Renita, can we put that first photo up here? And David Takagi snaps this photo as it's coming up. That's a great picture, David. No, right there. I love how it, there it is. So David Takagi snaps this photo of 6 years ago. And it kind of has, and I didn't realize it until I was prepping for this Sunday's sermon, that it was Pentecost Sunday, 6 years ago. You can tell because the banners are the same that are in there. You can tell where is Becca and Tom, right here, who do just amazing work keeping the liturgical season alive for us here. And though it's Pentecost, and Pentecost is a pretty big day, we don't see any flames dancing on anyone's head here. No gale force winds blowing through here. But David captured a little bit of sort of that light and that essence of Pentecost, and I just really love this photo. Now, to compare this moment, which was a big moment in my life, but to compare this moment with the church's first birthday is kind of a big stretch. So I'm not gonna make that stretch, but there are some commonalities of what was going on there and what was happening 2,000 years ago. There's a lot of uncertainty at Church of the Crossroads for quite a while. For 3 years, your search committee labored trying to find someone that was going to be the right fit for this place. Who knows if they did, but they labored hard for that work. And as a result of that hard work, Church of the Crossroads was also very focused on holding itself together, doing the organizational things that it needed to do, continue the ministry while you waited for the search committee to finish their work. 2,000 years ago, Pentecost is 50 days after Easter. We think of Easter as a big deal. It is a big deal. But the stories that we hear in the gospel stories over and over and over is that the disciples didn't get it on Easter. They were confused. They were afraid. In fact, the Gospel of Mark ends where they think it originally ended. The last 10 verses get added in, ends with, "And they were afraid," right after Jesus has appeared to them. They are confused. And so according to Luke, who also wrote the book of Acts, according to Luke, what happens is for the next 40 days, Jesus is present with them, meeting with them, going to the beach with them, going fishing with them, all sorts of wonderful things. Jesus is present with them, and over those 40 days, that fear dissipates, that uncertainty dissipates. In fact, in Acts chapter 1, we hear them gathering together to begin to organize themselves. They take a vote. Judas has committed suicide. We need another apostle. Will it be Matthias or this other person? They vote for Matthias. And we are told that there's about 120 of them. There's about 120, and it says, including Jesus' mother Mary, and including the women. The women. All the men get names. Well, 12 of them do. And then we have the women. But they are organizing themselves, and Jesus has said to them, "When I leave, and I am going to leave, the Holy Spirit will come to you." Now, let's be honest. They had no idea what that meant. The Holy Spirit will come. What is the Holy Spirit? This is a new concept. But they, by the time they have waved bye-bye as he has ascended into the clouds, 10 more days will pass. 10 more days will pass, and they will go from this moment where they were 50 days ago uncertain, now expecting something but not knowing what it is. And at the moment of the Jewish celebration of Shavuot, which is a harvest festival where Jews from around the world once again descend upon Jerusalem, the Spirit comes to them. comes dancing on their head with flames that will not burn them up. It is like Moses with the burning bush comes, and they're talking not in tongues, but they're talking in the languages of all the people that are coming here. It is the reverse of the Tower of Babel, where everyone is scattered and said, now everyone is coming together. And rather than having just one language, they are able to speak the languages to one another, and they're able to hear this amazing and wonderful news. So there was uncertainty that ends in expectation and something happening that is so exciting there. But to compare this to that, well, that's a stretch. We could maybe think about the very first worship service the Church of the Crossroads had 100 and some years ago. Nice that we can now say almost 100, no longer say almost 100, we can say 100 years and some. That first worship service, when children from all different ethnicities here in Hawaii came together for that first worship service, that may have been closer to this moment. But here's the thing. I think we do a disservice to the concept of Pentecost, the concept of God coming into our lives, speaking to us with the Holy Spirit, speaking to us in a way that challenges us, speaking to us in a way that is unexpected. And as Peter says at the end of what Catherine was reading for us, encourages us to change our ways, to turn around. The Greek word is metanoia, repent, to turn around. This is what happens at Pentecost. We have these moments in our life where all of a sudden things have come together in a new way. I might argue that this is not a Pentecost moment. Might be. I'm not sure. The Pentecost moment may well have been 6 months before in our life together, when in November I stood up in this pulpit for the first time, not as a candidate to be your pastor, but simply there to help fill in an empty puka that was there. And I preached to you about butterflies, and somehow that worked enough that you all sent Mark Wilson as an emissary to come to me at the end of the service and say, maybe you should think about applying to be our pastor. And I said to Mark, thank you, I have a job. Mark said, well, maybe you ought to think about it. In his ever so gentle and saintly way, how could you not? But maybe that wasn't the Pentecost moment. Maybe the Pentecost moment, when the Spirit is really speaking, was the Wednesday before I preached up here. The Wednesday before, which happened to be the day after the 2016 presidential election. The Wednesday morning when I woke up, as all of you woke up, to a future that you had not anticipated, with a president being elected that was not what people had anticipated. And I then, second thought was, oh no, I have to preach on Sunday at Church of the Crossroads, the one church in all of the state of Hawaii, probably more than any other, that will treat this as a funeral day. And somehow the Holy Spirit said, preach about butterflies. And it worked. And it worked. But maybe that isn't the Pentecost moment. Maybe the Pentecost moment, Renita, can you show the next slide? Maybe the Pentecost moment was a few days after I preached here, where I'm sitting out here at Camp Mokulei'a, where I was the director at what we call Pule Point, place of prayer. And I'm sitting there trying to sort out Mark Wilson's entreaty to me that I should maybe consider applying to Church of the Crossroads, trying to sort out what is going on here. And I sat there in prayer. And then, next slide, I was greeted by this person here. This is not at Camp Mokulei'a. We don't have lava blowing there. That's at Halemaumau, but that is Kelly Schaefer. All good things I have learned in the world begin with somebody named Kelly. Kelly was a member of my staff. The other two are two interns, Andrew and Sable, that were part of my staff on a trip that I took them up to see Kilauea. But Kelly sat with me on that Wednesday while I was there at Pule Point. Kelly was the one staff member that was most in sync with me, with the vision that I wanted to see happen, the remaking of Camp Mokulei'a that we were working towards. We loved working with each other. And I told her about my experience at Church of the Crossroads. And I looked at Kelly and I said, I don't know what to do. And Kelly looked at me and took a big gulp because she knew that the words she was about to say were words that might well mean we would stop working together. And she looked at me and she said, you need to listen. You need to listen to what is going on. And so I began to. And maybe that's not even the Pentecost moment. Next slide. Maybe this is the Pentecost moment. When my friend and former colleague, Becca Kessler, from our days at Punahou, calls me up in August of 2016, doing her due diligence to try and fill the pulpit. And she calls me up and she says, you know, could you maybe preach a couple Sundays for us? We have the second Sunday of November and the second Sunday of December available. Could you preach for us on those Sundays? Number one, if I had known what second Sunday is like here, I would have for sure said yes. There would have been no question the food that would be awaiting me. Absolutely. But I didn't know that. Nor did I even look at the calendar. I just said, sure. And why Becca called me at that moment, who knows? We don't know oftentimes when the Spirit is speaking to us until after the fact. And we think about Pentecost as this big moment where 3,000 people are converted and flames are dancing and gale force winds are blowing. But the truth of the matter is that the Holy Spirit speaks to us in a series and multitude of ways. And so the Pentecost moment that for me ends up on that first slide where I am standing here on Pentecost Sunday with Mary Reese praying over me as you all have just voted for me to become your pastor, that Pentecost moment is actually created by a series of many other Pentecost moments, which is true in our own lives. So here's what I want to do. Can we go back to the Zoomers so we can see all their wonderful faces, Renita? I want us to take a moment in quiet. I was going to ask us to turn into small groups, but just take a moment. And I want you to stop and think about inspiration, in spiritus, the Holy Spirit speaking into your lives. And I want you to think about, can you name a time where, in fact, the unexpected occurs to you, where in fact a new direction is given to you, when in fact things that seem so confused came together? Perhaps it's in music, perhaps it's in theater, perhaps it's in art, perhaps it's in conversation. I want you to stop. We're going to stop for 1 minute, quiet. Zoomers, you have to stop talking to each other. And I want you to think about it. And then I'm going to ask if anyone can share with us, when else has a spirit been talking in your life? For as a community, we are a community that is shaped by the way the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And sometimes it speaks to us as a whole. Sometimes it speaks to us as small parts. Sometimes it speaks to us, the Spirit speaks to us, she speaks to us individually. But all of those voices into our lives are part of who we are. So, take a moment. Sit with it. When have you felt the Spirit speaking into your life? We'll get back.
Well, all of a sudden, in traffic, as this happened once in a while, it came to me that this is a small step to understanding someone who is doing something conflicted.
And I think, Michael, that is one of the reasons why God speaks to us in small steps, because it is indeed baby steps that change the world so often. It is not always in the big and the huge. We seem to think that. The media wants us to know it. But indeed, it is in those small acts of kindness when the Spirit has spoken into us to do things, to be different, to get on the train, see where it'll go.